Now, I don't know if anyone is willing to confess to something that some people would regard as a terrible, terrible crime. I don't know if you've ever written in your Bible. Yeah? Some people, yes, yes. Now, I think that can be quite helpful. Maybe you want to have one Bible that you keep pristine, but maybe you want to have a Bible that you, you know, mark some favourite passages, or you could put, like, question marks next to everything you don't understand, and then once a month you could phone up the vicar or perhaps some other Christian friend and ask them all your questions or something. So it can be helpful to write on your Bible, but just in case your conscience would accuse you for writing on the pew Bible today, please don't do that. I've printed out for you all, hopefully, the passage which we're going to have read for us in a moment. And I would encourage you, if you've got it and a writing tool, just to write on it, mark anything that you think is interesting. If you've got any questions, maybe you'll spot some repeated words you can circle or something like that. We're going to try and use this as a way of engaging with the passage. And Tracy is kindly going to come and read it for us, perhaps a little bit slower than usual. And while she's doing it, you can scribble or draw a picture on the back or write your shopping list or whatever. So, is everybody happy with that? Has anybody not got a piece of paper? And does anybody need a writing tool? Great.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose in him, us in him, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, and thank you very much to you, Tracy. So we'll come back to that passage in a minute, but first of all, Jane is going to read for us from John chapter 1. We often read from John chapter 1 over Christmas, but this is a slightly different slice of it, and perhaps it also speaks about some of the blessings and privileges which we enjoy as Christians. But after we've read this, we're going to go back to Ephesians 1. Thank you, Jane.
So the reading from John is on page 1063 in the Pew Bibles. It's starting at verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, so back to your bit of paper and to Ephesians 1 then. And I'm just going to give you a few more minutes with this, either on your own or maybe in twos and threes, you can have a look at it. You could try and think about, well, what are the big ideas? What is this on about? And maybe you might like to notice the tenses, if you're keen on English, past, present, future. And maybe you might like to look out for the persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I'll just give you a few more minutes to scribble on this and perhaps talk about it with those around you if you're feeling brave. And then we will discuss it. You may talk. Right, well, that was the easiest sermon I've ever written. Do come back next week. Now, has anybody got any idea what this passage could possibly be on about? Sorry? Coming closer to God, yeah, definitely. I'm sure that's involved. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so somewhere in there there's the idea that God has got a plan for us. Yeah, absolutely. Steve? Yeah, okay. Yeah, plan, predestined, means like chosen in advance for something. You know, John was predestined to be a doctor, we might say, because, you know, all of his ancestors for thousands of generations back were doctors. Yes? Okay, so one of the really big ideas is in Christ or in him. Everything is about being related to Jesus by faith, trusting in him, being joined with him in the Spirit. That's one of the biggest ideas in this letter to the Ephesians, one of the biggest ideas in Paul, one of the biggest ideas in the Bible. In Christ or in him. That probably comes umpteen times in this passage and umpteen times in the letter. Anything else? Oh, Steve, you're on fire. But first of all, Shirley Austin.
The frame of his glory,
okay, brilliant. Yes. Yeah. So one of the great emphases is praise to the praise of God's grace, to the praise of his glory. It's quite helpful, isn't it, really, sometimes. Even if you can't understand everything in a Bible passage, sometimes there are some things that are clear. Sometimes there are some things that are repeated, you know, to the praise of his glory, the glory of his grace. I think it will be hard to read this passage and not come away with the idea, something about praising God, thankfulness, gratitude, how wonderful it is what God has done and how we should respond to it. Steve, what do you want to say? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So again, that all goes back to the idea of God having a plan and a purpose. It all includes us, but it centres on Jesus, goes back before creation, stretches out into the future, into eternity too. Rob?
It was unclear to me whether predestination applies only to those who embrace
Christ. Yeah, okay. So obviously we can have a lot of interesting discussion about predestination. He's talking, first of all, here, isn't he, about Christians, those who are in Christ, believers. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. But actually, it does sort of burst a bit beyond that, because there's the idea that God has got a plan for the whole universe. He's going to somehow bring all things under Christ. Doesn't mean that every individual is included, but it is a sort of big cosmic vision. Yeah, Judith, did you want to say something? Yeah, yeah. So verse 13, the importance of believing the word of truth, the message of truth, being included. So how do I get all these benefits and blessings of being in Christ, being Christian? Well, by believing in Jesus, trusting in him, believing into him, and then I'm joined to him by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah.
More special, more everlasting than
being a natural family. So one of the things that is going to be developed in Ephesians actually is the idea that it's not just a sort of private individual thing, just me and God. It's shared, and it's about belonging to God's family, the church. It's a sort of communal experience as well. So that will come out a bit later. Oh, yeah, let's just take one or two more, and then I'm not sure whether your papers are going to burn. Yeah.
I'm on the line of it, but it says, number 8, with all wisdom and understanding, so we're learning
which one. Yeah.
Wisdom, so we can understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's God's wisdom and understanding there, isn't it, which is infinite. So there's always more of God to know. You can never say you've got to the end of him. And which, Vivian, did you want to say something as well? Should we go Steve and then Vivian, we'll make you the last one. It's good that you can always discuss more over coffee.
The looking up at verse 13, where it says, when you believe, you will
not be deceived. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And he talks about it in the next verse being guaranteed, doesn't he? So that the Holy Spirit is like a seal who perhaps authenticates us and guarantees us, and maybe also like a sort of down payment, a first instalment, because you sort of pay the deposit and that's meant to guarantee that the rest is coming. So the Holy Spirit is like a foretaste of the blessings of heaven, part now but coming in the future, and the Holy Spirit is a sort of guarantee. Vivian?
The expectation.
Yeah, there definitely is the expectation of a response, isn't there? As we've already said, that response of faith, believing the word, but also, I guess, that he wants them to join in with praising God for his grace. Well, there's masses more that we could say about this passage, and I'm going to give you a piece of paper to go away with. You may know that the New Testament was written in what language? Greek, okay, Greek, funny kind of Greek, slightly different from ancient Greek, and we haven't got the original thing that Paul wrote down, but probably you wrote it all in capital letters with no spaces and no punctuation, because he wanted to start a puzzle for today. Probably because the papery stuff, what would it have been, probably papyrus or something, or anyway, whatever they use as paper was all very expensive and tricky, you know. So it was all capital letters, and no spaces and no punctuation. But it seems like this is just one sentence in the Greek. A great overflow of praise which comes from Paul. So I don't know how you felt this morning when you woke up. You saw that there was no snow and it was rainy and grey. Yeah, maybe you bounced out of bed, even though you've not yet had a coffee, and then you thought, woohoo, it's Sunday! I get to go to church! Fantastic! Well, I think that's slightly how Paul felt when he wrote this letter. It wasn't like, oh no, I'd better write back to the Ephesians. Oh, I've owed them a letter for ages, you know. They sent me that Christmas gift. Dear Ephesians, thank you very much for your kind. Praise God for his glorious... He's excited about this, isn't he? He thinks it's the most fantastic news in the world ever, and he wants to share it. He thinks it's very exciting. And if you spotted the text, the tenses, he goes through past blessings, present blessings, and future blessings. Blessings from God the Father, in God the Son, and in God the Holy Spirit. So he says that they've got every spiritual blessing in Christ. Wonderful. You know, it might not always feel like it. There are many more blessings that we would like. You know, it would be lovely to have the blessing of a Land Rover and a Jaguar, wouldn't it? And lots of money in the bank. But Paul tells us that if we're Christian believers, we have every blessing from the Holy Spirit in Christ. Although we're sat here on these uncomfortable pews in church in Warbleton, There's a sense in which we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and all things are ours. But it's even better than that, because we have not the trouble of the management of it. Just think, if you owned everything, it would be a bit of a nightmare, wouldn't it? You know, you'd have to move your investments around and do your tax return and, you know, mow lots of lawns. It would be a real nightmare. But in Christ we have everything, but the wonderful thing is that we have not the management of it. Christ looks after it for us and gives us just what we need. And then he itemizes these blessings, the past blessing of being chosen by God the Father and adopted as a son, included in God's family. Not just that Paul is a male chauvinist pig, by the way. I think he probably says son because it particularly implies an inheritance in those days. You're an heir. And then those blessings of being redeemed by the Son. Do you know what redeemed means? Yeah, it certainly relates to forgiven. He goes on to say that, doesn't he? Okay, bought back with the payment of a price. It's like a pawnbroker, P-A-W-N, yes. Ask your parents about that when you get home. It's the language of the slave market, isn't it? Set free from slavery by the payment of a price. Redeemed. Forgiven, as you rightly say, Marcus. And all this is made known to us in Christ. And in the end, all things will be brought together under Christ. Our inheritance is guaranteed. In the meantime, we're included in Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit, who authenticates us and who's the deposit, the down payment, guaranteeing all that is to come. Well, I hope you agree with that just from those few minutes of digging into that text. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage. Do take a bit of paper away with you, and I'll give you some little notes to go with it. Maybe you'd like to spend a few more minutes with that passage today or this week. And maybe it's not too late for a New Year's resolution, you know. Obviously, there's, you know, not eating anything and not drinking anything and going to the gym, and that'll all be miserable. But a happy, helpful New Year's resolution might be to praise God for his glorious grace. Maybe to try and think each day, well, is there something that I could praise or thank God for? Now, that might make a real difference if perhaps with our morning coffee or Coke or orange juice, whatever it is we drink in the morning, we might just pause and give thanks and praise God for something. And this passage would give us many things we could thank God for. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your wonderful word and the Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought us such a wonderful salvation. Help us to think about these things and to remember them, that you might open our eyes afresh to the glory of your grace, your undeserved love for us. Pray that we might be people who praise and thank you, not only with our lips on a Sunday morning, but with our whole lives and throughout the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.